You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Father's Day is almost here. Visit the Cleveland Browns team shop at First Energy Stadium this week for 10% off polo shirts for dad. Just mention dad at checkout. The team shop, it's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. You can also shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And I'm smiling right now because I am very, very happy to bring aboard this show one of my all-time best friends in football. I covered this guy in the NFL when he was a quarterback, and he basically was my mentor. I mean, you would take me in as a downtrodden single sports writer living in South Jersey over to your house, you and Liz, your wife. I'm talking about Ron Jaworski, and we'd sit there and we'd watch film together. Everything I know about this game, Ron, I owe to you.
Vic, great to be with you, and that's quite a welcome, an introduction.
Maybe the audience is going to say, "Oh my God, what a bad teacher you were."
Jaws, first, how downtrodden was he? Since that's his,
I wore the same shirt about every day.
It was bad. It was bad. He's come a long way since those days in South Jersey.
I didn't know this whole laundry thing. I had a lot of issues.
I can't take credit. But then he leaves South Jersey and goes to Buffalo. And of course, I was born and raised in Buffalo.
Sure.
So I'd run into Vic all the time and his family up in Buffalo.
But
it's always great to come to Cleveland, always great to talk to Browns. I usually get in this area, going back to Youngstown State for some alumni outings and things like that. So it's great to be here in Cleveland.
All right, so you had a chance to check out practice on Wednesday and get a feel for what's going on with this team. So give me your observations. You were I know generally because watching your analysis for ESPN, Jaws, regarding Johnny Manziel, wasn't really, in your mind, the enthusiasm to see him be a fit in the NFL compared to maybe some other people like John Gruden had the opposite view of that. But has your take changed at all watching him in person versus what you saw on tape from Texas A&M?
Yeah, first of all, before I mention Johnny Manziel and discuss him, let me first talk about Mike Pettine.
Okay.
Your new head coach.
Yeah.
I've known Mike for a long time. I've known the Pettine family, his dad, one of the greatest high school coaches in the history, not only of the state of Pennsylvania, but in the country. And they are two outstanding people. And when the Browns hired Mike Pettine, I was excited for Browns fans. He reminds me of a guy that turned around a couple organizations, that being Dick Vermeil. In Philadelphia when I was there, and then the St. Louis Rams, two downtrodden organizations. And you could honestly say right now the Browns are a downtrodden organization. So you have to hire the right person. And I think Mike Pettine is the right person for the job. I know him as a coach, as a person. He's attended the Maxwell Football Club dinners. His dad was recognized numerous times as the high school coach of the year and one of the greatest coaches of all time. So it's a step in the right direction, getting that discipline, that leadership, and surrounding himself with quality people. And Mike understands all those things. So I think Jimmy Haslam, the Browns, have done a great job of hiring the right guy. Now, time will tell if I'm right or everyone's right, but I think the choice right now is terrific. Now to Johnny Manziel. And you guys know, I don't make decisions quickly or abruptly. I'm kind of a wonk when it comes to tape study. I sit in my office, NFL Films, and, like for the big board this year, I've looked at just about every pass, every quarterback through last year before I make my rankings. So in preparation for the draft, I look at the tape, and the tape takes me in the direction that the tape takes, not what I think or what I like or my personal preferences, although my prism might be a little bit different than other guys like John Gruden, who I argue with every day. but the film kind of tells me about a guy, and we all know the draft is guesswork to a certain degree. Yeah, you hire wonderful people to make those decisions, but at the end of the day, history has proven it's guessing. It's guessing. So I'm not saying I'm right, saying I'm wrong. I'm just saying when I watch Johnny Manziel, I did not see a collegiate game that projected to the National Football League or a first-round pick. I thought Johnny, in my opinion, would have gone with the first pick in the second round to the Houston Texans. That's where when I do my mock drafts and we talk about the quarterback rankings. But I saw a great collegiate quarterback. But in the NFL, I truly believe, after being around this game for 41 years now, that you have to play from the pocket first. And mobility is certainly a great attribute to have, but it's got to be the last resource that you use to make a play work. You got to play the game from the pocket, You got to read progressions. You got to anticipate. You got to get the ball out of your hands. And I did not see enough of that at his college level tape. And hopefully he can become a student of the game, bear down on his practice and his work ethic, and maybe he can learn all those things that are so important to being consistent in the NFL.
So great to have quarterbacking deity with us. And I mean that, Ron Jaworski here from ESPN on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. All right, Jaws, so yes, you've pounded home the message about quarterbacking play has to emanate from the pocket to be successful. Is there concern for you? Things I looked at, his ad lib, his creativity, yes. You don't want to stifle that, but he turned down so many things that were there in college that will be in a much tighter window that he's not going to be able to turn down. If it's there, he's got to hit it. How much of that can Kyle Shanahan's offensive system help him with in terms of getting him to see it, understand it, process it, and get it out?
I think it'll be a significant help. Kyle Shanahan brought along a young quarterback 2 years ago, Robert Griffin III, and he designed his offense around the skill set of Robert Griffin III. You know, the running game, the quarterback bootlegs, the keepers, the play action, almost developed a hybrid style of offense. Very effective until RG3 got hurt. And that's the problem you face in the National Football League with mobile quarterbacks. They get hurt. For 17 years, I heard defensive coaches, as when I was a player, at halftime, at practice, pregame speeches. And, you know, guys, they don't say, when you get to the quarterback, wrap him up and drag him down slowly and gently. They say, bend his face mask, knock him out of the game, because the best chance we have of winning is when the backup quarterback comes in the game. There's a reason why mobile quarterbacks do not have consistent success in the NFL. You know, we've seen a Doug Flutie, a Fran Tarkenton, a Russell Wilson last year, but they're few and far between. So when I evaluate the quarterback position and project success in the NFL through my prism, it's 6'5", 235-pound guys that can see over the line, can take the brutal beating you take in the NFL week in and week out, and can throw the football with velocity and accuracy.
All right, so that physical prototype you just described isn't on this roster. We know that. Brian Hoyer, a little bit bigger than Johnny Manziel, but not what we'd consider the classic build of what you're talking about. But he is the veteran, or at least veteran with some experience, I guess, is the best way to describe it. How has he looked to you both in terms of tape analysis or video analysis and what you saw here on the practice field?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Vic, I am really quite surprised that Hoyer has been with four teams already. I really am. I thought, you know, coming out of college, I loved his game. Couldn't have fallen in a better landing spot than Bill Belichick's New England-style offense working with the Tom Brady. And whenever he played in New England, he played well. And that includes the preseason. I do study many of those games as well. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, things didn't work out there. He ends up in Pittsburgh for a cup of coffee, Arizona a cup of coffee. He comes to Cleveland, played very well in the three games last year. Now, here's a guy that right now has a chip on his shoulder, and I love that. You know, when I'm with Tom Brady and I say, you know, Tom, you're the 199th player picked in the draft, he gets ticked, man.
You like to remind him.
His back bows up, and yeah, that still bothers me. Yeah. And I think Brian's the same way right now. You know, he wants this job. It's his job. He's ticked off right now. He's got that chip on his shoulder. He's heard enough of Johnny Manziel. And, oh, by the way, competition is good.
Yeah.
Competition is good. And these guys will compete. You know, we all know Manziel's a fiery, fierce competitor, and so is Brian Hoyer. That's what's going to make this so enjoyable for you Browns fans to watch this competition, because these are two guys that are going to go to the middle of the ring and duke it out. They're that competitive. So, but it was obvious watching practice. I think Hoyer is clearly ahead right now. Clearly ahead. Mm-hmm. He's a much more polished guy. You can see the way he commands the offense at the line of scrimmage. There's a swagger to his game right now. Johnny's still learning the game. You know, Hoyer understands the game. So I think right now, spinning this forward to opening day against Pittsburgh, I think you're going to want the more experienced guy.
Excellent stuff as always. Ron Jaworski from ESPN joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jaws, for those, the detractors of Hoyer, that say, yeah, but bottom line, he can go in and keep you afloat, win you a game or two here and there, but he's a backup. That's all he's been. That's all he's ever going to be. I would think that Kurt Warner and Rich Gannon may take exception to that.
That is
but,
correct.
Okay, but tell us, Jaws, Do you see Brian Hoyer as, again, maybe following the same type of path? He's been in the league for 6 years now. Could it culminate and be far greater than just that guy who comes in and holds a fort to win a football game for you as a backup?
Oh, it absolutely could. I mean, and you mentioned one of the great players of all time, Kurt Warner, who's going to be going to the Hall of Fame shortly. You know, he was playing with the Iowa Barnstormers in the Arena Football League after, you know, having a cup of coffee in Green Bay and making no impression on anyone. But he stayed the path. He worked hard at his trade. The Arena Football League helped him get his quick twitch, which is so important, you know, in the National Football League game, to get the ball out of your hand. And he's had a bumpy road, and that's kind of the cool thing about it. So he is really enjoying this mission right now. I had a chance to talk to him at practice, and he got that big smile on his face. But I know Brian well enough that I know deep down inside, you know, he wants this job badly. You know, it may be his last opportunity if you look at it. And there's a good supporting cast right now. I think when you look at what Kyle's got to deal with from an offensive perspective, the offensive line's going to be solid. I mean, you'd love to have, you know, Josh back, but that's probably not going to happen. We don't know what that situation is like right now. You know, the stretch running game is going to be there. You know, my old friend Wilbert Montgomery coaching the running backs, my teammate in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, Wilbert's been to 4 Super Bowls, won 2 and lost 2. And you want to talk about a coach, and rather than me talk about it as a friend, talk to Marshall Faulk, Hall of Famer, and he'll tell you the reason he's in the Hall of Fame, Wilbert Montgomery. How Wilbert coached him, how he taught him about the game, how he taught him to be aware at the line of scrimmage for blitzes and all those things that happen that most running backs are unaware of. Wilbert is a terrific coach and a great addition to this staff in Cleveland. So there's a good coaching staff in place. These guys coach hard. They will be tough. They're not going to be everybody's buddy. It's going to be a tough, physical football team. So you mix Hoyer into that with a guy with a chip on his shoulder. I like that blend.
So you made reference to it, and there's no doubting that this has been the downtrodden team, this team that's been so long away from any postseason hope and hope for postseason. As you size it up right now, Ron, top to bottom, including defense, what you take in about this football team, and you touted Mike Pettine, you've touted members of this coaching staff, you know the Kyle Shanahan system and such. How do you see it coming together this particular year? What is the realistic prospect for you as you see this team right now?
Yeah, I think realistically you can see a 500 team here, and that would be a quantum leap to get to 500. Yeah. This division is tough, man. You're looking at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. I mean, you could play good and lose those games. You could play great and lose those games. So it's a really, really tough competitive division. But, you know, the culture change is going to be critical. And I know you guys in Philadelphia ad nauseum have probably heard Mike talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening first. You got to change the culture. I mean, when you think of this Browns franchise, since 1991, there's been 141 coaches here. 141, that's head coaches and assistant coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been 20 different starting quarterbacks since 1999. I mean, the last 6 years, you've lost 11 games or more. The culture stinks, you know, and you got to change that culture. And the culture has to start not only with the players, not only with the front office. Great, it's beautiful facility you have here.
How do you like our studio, by the way?
I'm blown away, Vic. You're big time here. But you see that culture change, and you know what? And it's also the media, the fans,
right.
You know, everyone's got to believe.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. That's why, you know, you hear so much culture, culture, culture. And I know, like, Dick Vermeil would talk to our football team. I knew back in the 80s he was talking to the fans. He was getting the fans to buy in.
Right.
And I think Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer, these guys are getting the fans to buy in. So when you come to that stadium on Sunday afternoon, you got 68,000 whack jobs that know you're going to win the football game. That's what you have to have. And that's what's being developed here. And I think it can happen. This is a storied city. It's a great franchise. When I was at Youngstown State, we used to load up on Sunday afternoon after we'd play on Saturday and come to games here at the old Municipal Stadium just to watch the Brownies play. So there's a great history and tradition here, but the culture has to change, and I think it's going in the right direction, and it starts with Mike Pettine.
Load up on what, soft drinks? Is that what it's
No, you meant the car. They loaded up the car to make
right.
the trip.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I'm always coaching Vic up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Ronnie, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, I want to come back.
We want you back.
Josh.
Are you kidding me? This is awesome. Really, I really appreciate this. Great to see you. And I know we will talk more with you down the line, my friend.
All right. Thanks,
outstanding
guys.
Insight.
All the best
thank
to your
you,
family.
Josh.
He is the one and only Ron Jaworski from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.